on the road or off-road, Chevy Silverado is built for tough performance in any condition. Hit the road in a new Silverado pickup. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for a dealer near you. Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
Actor Chevy Chase is nothing short of iconic. In a brand new documentary about his life, I'm Chevy Chase and You're Not premieres on CNN on New Year's Day. He's known for an incredible range of classic films, including Caddyshack, Fletch, Three Amigos, Spies Like Us, and of course, the legendary Vacation franchise. And with the holidays in full swing, it's the perfect time to celebrate this comedy legend with the timeless favorite, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. And to talk about it all is Chevy Chase. Happy holidays, Chevy. Glad to have you on the show again.
Oh, man, you know what? How about if I use this voice?
That'd be great.
I'm fine.
That's good.
You're welcome. I'm happy to because, frankly, this is what I've been doing around the country. Yeah, you said everything. This is something that I love doing. Sometimes it's Christmas Vacation, sometimes other films, but really throughout this period of time, it's Christmas Vacation because close to Christmas, and I find that movie to be one of the most fun that I did. For me, I really enjoyed it, and I love the cast in it. It's very, very funny group.
Wasn't
and you know, it's funny. The movie's funny. I don't like to do movies that aren't funny, frankly. But
right.
This is one of my favorites.
Well, I'm looking at some lists. I was looking at lists ranked like the all-time top Christmas movies from AMC, Variety, Esquire, Rolling Stone magazine. And National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation is always in the top three with It's a Wonderful Life and A Christmas Story. It beats out White Christmas, Home Alone, Miracle on 34th Street. Does the level of success with this movie surprise you at all when it comes to this film?
What you just said surprised me, yeah. I mean, I think the greatest of all time is Jimmy Stewart. I love that movie, which is probably number one, right?
Yeah, it's number one.
That's a brilliant movie, and I think he's really my favorite screen actor, Jimmy Stewart, of all time. I met him once, by the way.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I was about in my early 20s, and I met him, and he said, get out of here. That was about it. He just thought I was some guy, you know. I didn't know what to do, so I left.
That's awesome. You know, he did that film, I think, right when he came out of World War II. Like, he landed back in the States, and that's the film he did.
Yeah.
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 Pretty classic.
Quite amazing, really, because this he was so real as an actor. Mm-hmm. I try to be, but I just end up being a clown. But
no,
I like playing Clark Griswold. I think Clark Griswold is a great character.
It is, but you know what? There's moments in those films, though, all the vacation films, where, you know, yes, it is all about the funny, but then there's, you know, touching moments you have, and especially in that movie, watching home movies, you know, growing up with your parents and, you know, moments with your kids and stuff. There is still, and I think that's why it still resonates with everybody, right?
It might be. I don't know. I'm surprised at how good it's, as well it's done, and how I haven't made a goddamn cent. No, I'm kidding. But I'm sorry, that's just weird.
That's all good.
That's okay. I didn't mean it. No, I don't really know where it stands in terms of that kind of survey. I think it's just wonderful that it's up there in the top three. It's great.
What a cast you worked with. So you got Beverly, D'Angelo, of course, Randy Quaid, Johnny Galecki, Juliette Lewis, Julie Louis-Dreyfus, but you had legends on there, like John Randolph, Diane Ladd, E.G. Marshall from 12 Angry Men, Doris Roberts. I mean, what a cast.
I know. And wasn't he in The Defenders, too, on TV?
He was, yeah.
E.G. Marshall.
Yes, he was.
I was amazed by the fact that we could get these people. But, you know, some of them were older now and were, at the time, let's say, older. And, you know, had been gone from television stardom and whatnot for some years. And we're very happy to be in it because, you know, actors love to act. There's no getting around that.
They do.
And so, I mean, it was just a wonderful cast. And I felt that they were a part of my life at that time. It was really great, great stuff.
Yeah.
Nope. Anyway, the movie is like I say, it's very funny. It still is to me. It's also moving, as you said, in some ways. It's not that I took anything too seriously at that time, but, you know, I am an actor.
Yes, you are. And I was going to say, you're also, you know, you're also a writer. You're also an improviser. So did you, you know, I'm sure they gave you some free rein in the movie and all your movies for that matter to just do what you felt was right and improvise and have some fun with it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And in this one, I think it was Jeremiah was the director. Absolutely. But Fletch would be a perfect example. I just sort of winged it the whole way through. Because I was just sort of being myself. Here I had to play the character as it related to these very fine actors and kids, too.
Yeah.
And so it was a lesson for me in many ways about how to control myself.
Gotcha.
And be a part of something that was bigger than myself, as it were, you know.
I think you broke your finger in one of the scenes that you were improvising, actually, didn't you?
Oh, God, I know. I'm surprised you knew that. It's true. It's in the very beginning of the movie, I'm trying to light the roof of the house, which I try here too, my own home. But you know, the amount of lights is just outrageous in the movie.
Yeah.
Very funny. For sure. So I'm trying to get it started, and I won't get started. I'm getting more and more peeved and. I noticed at the time, this has really happened live, at the time that there were these deer on the lawn, like I had placed them there. Like I didn't know, you know, that this is what the prop people do. But I guess there's a backstory to it, that this is what Clark does. And I was so angry that I went over and punched one of the deers. And unfortunately, I didn't realize that the deer was not made of rubber. It was, you know, made of like hard plastic.
Right.
That just broke my pinky and immediately. I had to keep up the whole scene because, you know, it was busted, but, you know, I just had to get the scene done and whatnot.
Yeah.
And then later found out it was broken.
And I know Bev like would do some improv stuff, like right at the end of the movie when the cops show up at your house, she grabbed your junk at some point.
Yeah, I don't understand that. I've asked Bev about that, and she says, you know me, I love to grab their junk. No, I don't know what. No, I don't know. It was pretty funny. You know, we let it go, obviously, but I mean, I didn't actually necessarily feel it, okay. Since most of my junk was down by my knee. No,
right.
Anyway. Okay. Anyway, yeah. Yeah, she did, and... somehow everybody continued to act normal, but thinking, you know, the director, production designer, everybody had to be just, let's get the scene right. And it was pretty funny. That is very much a Beverly type thing to do. Not in real life, but you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny, like, you know, we talk about holiday traditions and stuff. This movie is, and it's not one of those you can walk in and out of the room. There's so many favorite scenes. There is for everybody. And it's so quoted, you know, during the holiday season, you know, so many, and most of them are your lines during this movie because it was just that good.
Oh, you're so nice. Thank you. Yeah.
You grew up in Woodstock, New York. You know, what was your family Christmases like?
Well, they always involved a tree and, you know, presents. And then my brother and I would, you know, try to get down there around 3 in the morning and start opening presents, mm-hmm. you know, that kind of thing that kids do. Mm-hmm. So they were very good. There was one Christmas that, we all went to see Midnight Mass at a church in New York City. And, because the music's beautiful. I'm a particularly religious person, but, you know, the music is gorgeous mm-hmm. when the singing. And we came back, and all of the presents had been stolen. We lived up near East Harlem there.
Jeez.
And all the presents were gone, but the tree was there.
The tree was still there.
Yeah, Lord. The tree was there.
Good Lord.
I mean, that was something. But in any case, yeah, all my Christmases are memorable and for me, I think, and certainly for my kids. And I have three beautiful daughters and my wife, who continues to be beautiful. You know, my Christmases are fun. And of course, Janie and my wife does all the necessary shopping, and I take credit. So, you know,
nice.
There you have it.
Nice. Nice if you can get that.
Most fathers.
I like that. You know, Vacation, there was a ton of movies in this franchise. Like, what would you say is your favorite, maybe your second favorite, but like, what did you really thought was the best of the best?
Oh, man. I cannot let go of the very first one. Because it was new, partially to me, but also because it's, you know, it's got Imogene Coke. It's got a great cast.
Yes.
Too.
You know, and here you are, like, and I will tell you, you know, and I know we're talking about Christmas Vacation, but another one that my family loves, that we were just in on the East Coast and did like the Changing of the Leaves. We stayed at an Airbnb on a farm, and we decided to put on Funny Farm as we were staying at the farm. And it was, it's a great movie too.
I thought it was good. And you know, that was George Roy Hill.
But you
wonderful man, and so he made a special thing. You know, most of the directors I had were sort of first timers, or you know, I mean, I had Harold Ramis was great, but a great friend really, and the first time he ever directed was me and Caddyshack and then one of the Vacation movies. And in any case, the fun comes from sometimes the knowledge of the director, and a guy like George Roy Hill, who had done so many great movies, was just so much fun to be around and listen to, watch him direct. I learned a great deal. I never liked him much. Anyway, I don't care. I said it.
Comedy legend Chevy Chase, he really doesn't care. All right, Beverly D'Angelo of Christmas Vacation joins us after the news next. She's one of the most versatile and enduring talents in film and television, and it's a tradition to have her on my show during the holidays, and here she is once again, my friend Beverly D'Angelo. Hi, Bev, and happy holidays to you.
Happy holidays to you, Dave.
Number one. It was rated number one. You knocked Jimmy Stewart right out.
I feel bad. And two, what? I don't get. I can guarantee you that there was no idea at any time, and certainly no intention of making a classic. You know, and it's something that's occurred. It wasn't. I mean, those were the first Vacation, certainly, and the Christmas Vacation were popular. They were like little kind of hits when they came out. But it wasn't the kind of thing that you would think would be there forever and become iconographic. Or I mean, it's wild.
But I have to tell you, before we jump into this movie, Bev, I want to talk a little bit about you. You yourself are a Midwest girl. We're here in Chicago. You're a Midwest girl.
I'm a Midwest girl. And I was in Chicago recently, actually. Yeah, that was... Is that in the summertime? I can't remember. But, I'm a Midwesterner, and even though I ran out of Columbus like a horse from a burning barn when I was 17, it's great. And anytime, I just met some Midwesterners here in L.A. Last night, and it's just refreshing. We're the best. What can I say?
You're absolutely right. Yeah. Now, before you got into acting, I found out you were an illustrator for Hanna-Barbera. Is that what you studied in college? What was that all about?
I wasn't an illustrator. I didn't go to college. I took some courses, some art courses at the American School in Florence between my junior and senior years, and I sent that portfolio to Hanna-Barbera Studios in Hollywood, you know, just before I graduated high school. This goes along with the trying to run out of the burning barn thing.
Right.
And got a job, my first job with Hanna-Barbera was as an inker and painter, and then I kind of got promoted up to backgrounds. But, like, you know, that was in this. I was 17 years old. I got out of high school at 17. 17 years old, plunked from Columbus, Ohio, into Los Angeles, and in 1969, and it was, you know, fantastically freeing, wonderful. I had always been very shy, and I realized that I could sing, that I could voice, that I had a voice. And I started finding my voice, which took me across the states, across Canada, and ultimately back to the United States in 75 with a Broadway show.
Yeah, was it Rockabye Hamlet? Was that the first one?
Yeah, it was. And so, you know, then I basically learned how to act in front of movie cameras. I thought I'd be a singer, but I was too lazy to really have a career. In any case, I've never been a career pursuing kind of person. I've always followed the sun and you know, followed relationships. I've been motivated to, you know, love all my life.
Bev, we were talking about the fact that you were so young with teenage kids at the time that National Lampoon's Vacation was released, and you never thought your kids would see this movie, which was R-rated.
I didn't even think anybody was going to see it. I thought it was going to be like a little movie. I thought that the people that was R-rated, I thought the people that were going to watch it were the people that watched Animal House, and that it would kind of be a cult thing.
But you know what? Here
That's
it is. Imogene Coca, groundbreaking TV actress from the 50s.
Genius.
Right? Right. And then you had, you know, Anthony Michael Hall, Dana Barron, you had Christie Brinkley, John Candy, who I know wasn't originally planned for the film.
Yeah, not in the first one, but I'll tell you something. When we did that first one, Christie Brinkley was at a pinnacle of her fame and was such a big deal that in the marketing for that first film, I think I did like one little round robin interview, you know, where they put you in a hotel and you talk to a bunch of people at once. But other than that, the big push for that movie, marketing-wise, was it was introducing Christie Brinkley.
Really?
And And I was very aware of that because they did. That was where they were going with to get the. I was very much a supporting player, and I knew what I was doing, and I knew what I was bringing to the table. But I also really had the distinct feeling like I don't know if these people even get what I'm doing here because it was. I was in Italy. I didn't even do that.
Yeah.
You know. Maybe a few, but it was. I was not part of the concept that this was what was going to make it a hit movie.
Well, and the original movie, too. You were on the road filming for months. I mean, the conditions weren't fabulous. I mean, you really went across country to film this movie.
We did, but it was, you know, Harold Ramis, we must sing his praises.
Yeah.
Harold Ramis, he's a god, and I miss him so much I can barely talk about him, but Harold created an atmosphere that was fun and familial, and there was nothing, you know, we were traveling a lot, but everybody was all together, you know, and people had their families, and it was fun. It wasn't heavy. It wasn't like arduous, you know. It certainly wasn't as arduous as the real Griswolds, but I mean, there might have been some parallels, but Harold was such a genius. He had the ability to. He's like the smart, funny, loving guy in the corner, and so he would watch a scene and he would make the slightest adjustment in the funniest way, and everything would just take off. And he knew what worked and what didn't work, and he had a light touch and a way to communicate, and he was just so well respected just because he incurred that as a person.
So when Christmas Vacation debuted in 1989, the new chapter of the Griswolds, and it was an instant classic with an iconic cast. The prize of this movie was some of the legendary actors and actresses of the golden age of Hollywood that played Clark and Ellen's parents.
Yes, and absolutely.
And I was looking, E.G. Marshall, you know, he was on The Defenders. He was Kane Mutiny,
yes.
12 Angry Men. John Randolph, a longtime actor, World War II vet, blacklisted at one time. And Diane Ladd. Doris, absolutely amazing. Now, I assume all this was filmed in California as well with fake snow.
No, we did we were in somewhere in Colorado. I think it was Snowmass for the getting the Christmas tree.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, that was Colorado. We were those exteriors were not L.A.
But what was...
everything in the house and directly outside of the house, but going through the Christmas, you know, the Christmas tree lot, getting the Christmas tree, driving the Christmas tree on top of the car when we first get it, the little disc ride, that was all in Colorado.
Wow. And it was a very relatable story, too, and I think that's what the longevity...
Maybe Utah, I don't know, but it was in the snow, for real.
But it was so relatable because, you know, always wanting to do best for your family, especially around the holidays with decorations and festivities, but even more relatable...
Because the tension, you know, something, it's always, yeah.
Yeah, the parents and the grandparents coming to stay and visit and the trials and tribulations that go. I think that's why it has lasted so long and is still as popular as it was when it first aired.
You know why? John Hughes, one of your citizens, the other person that's gone. Yeah. John Hughes wrote that script, and John Hughes wrote the original Vacation. He had input into European, but he wasn't so interested in it, I don't think, as he was, you know, in the first one and the Christmas. But it's John. Between John and Harold Ramis, honestly. But John Hughes should really be given every tribute available for examining a part of American life that we've never really seen before in a way that encompassed all of the ideals that suburban families were striving for.
Sure, absolutely, absolutely.
And that was his grace, and that was his gift, and it really comes down to him. And he had a very strong hand in Christmas Vacation. And that's all, everything you're talking about is John.
And you will be forever celebrated as Ellen Griswold, an iconic place to hold in the world of holiday films. But your career includes so many other remarkable roles as well, very opposite of the character of Ellen Griswold.
But for me, what really made sense about Ellen, because I was saying, how could she stay with this guy? And, you know, blah, blah, blah. And what it came down to... And, you know, my through line was always that Ellen Griswold loves her husband, and she loves her family, and she's going to do whatever it takes to make sure that that stays intact. Thick, thin, disasters, no disasters. You know, there's no question in her mind that this is just part of loving. And that's how I attached to that role. And, that I was always stressing that, but we love each other. And I want to think that, you know, putting that in every single time made a difference to the directors and to the atmosphere, that it was based on that. You know what I mean? Love.
So after Coal Miner's Daughter and Every Which Way But Loose and Hair and all these other films, when you got this script, what was your first impression? Funny, I got to do this thing? It's so anti what I've been doing already?
No, I didn't want to do it. And in fact, I was coming off, I got to Hollywood and everything. I did like 4 movies in a year. I mean, it was too much, in fact. I had married an Italian duke, and he read it. He thought it was funny. But even my agents were saying, you know, it's got dogs, it's got kids, you're 29, the kids are teenagers, I don't know. So I went in for the interview just kind of to be a good girl. I was new in town, and, you know, someone invites you to a party. It wasn't an offer, but, you know, I thought, well, yes. So I went in. I liked Chevy. I was certainly a Chevy fan anyway, and a big fan of Saturday Night Live and all that kind of stuff. But I didn't see myself in that as a comedian. I didn't see myself in it was like, if I was really going to get into acting, was this where I was going to go? No, so it wasn't intentional. It's because my husband said, this is very funny. It's very humorous. Look at the way he goes in Eddie. That is so humorous. His cousin Eddie and his white shoes trying to borrow $50. It makes me laugh. So, you know, I said, great, I'll do it. I had no idea, and it's certainly become the gift that keeps on giving, because even I was living in Italy and got a phone call from my friend who said, hey, you know, you should really be here because you're in the number one movie this weekend. I'm like, what? And went, oh, yeah, Vacation, National Anthem's Vacation 83, because I think that's what it was called, is number one.
Well, more with Beverly D'Angelo celebrating National Lampoon's Vacation, Christmas Vacation, and the entire film franchise right after this on 720 WGN. So let's get back to what this now holiday classic means to holiday movie watching over the years and the legacy of this film amongst holiday movies like A Christmas Story, Elf, Miracle on 34th Street, Polar Express, It's a Wonderful Life, and Christmas Vacation in so many new polls is ranked number one.
Beat Home Alone?
Yeah.
Wow. White Christmas?
It beat a Christmas Story.
Oh, my God! There it is. Rarely has a third installment been the equal of its two predecessors, but such is the case with this threequel involving Chevy Chase, Beverly D'Angelo, Audrey Juliet, Rusty Griswold, the Mishap Besieged Family get-together. That's good. Mishap Besieged Family. And then It's a Wonderful Life. That's
Look at that.
Wild.
Isn't that great? You got to be proud.
It's fantastic.
Come on. Yeah, yeah. And
you know, I do this thing on, it's called Cameo. I'm not plugging. I'm just going to share something.
Yeah, yeah. I know Cameo.
I guess I am plugging, but cameo.com. Mm-hmm. And it's a site where you can go and you can get personalized videos made for you from, anybody who's on that site. There are lots of celebs and actors and singers and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And so I'm on that, and I'm getting, like, so many every day, please say Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, to the point where I think I'm going to do, like, a special Christmas thing.
We should.
Just devoted to Christmas. Well, yeah, but my big concept is get all my Christmas decor done and then make my, like, little trailer video for, getting people to get
one.
Oh,
that's smart. I like
that. But I haven't gotten the decorations up yet. I've got three Christmas trees, so.
Oh, nice.
Well, it's just 1 8-foot one and two tabletops.
I like it. I like it.
I like it, too, but I can't find any of my lights. Somebody said you better get out there and buy your Christmas tree ornaments. And I said, don't you know that people that celebrate Christmas have boxes in their garage or their attic for their ornaments, and they sit there except for, like, maximum of a month every year.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Oh, yeah.
Steve Jobs said that you should throw away anything that can be replaced for $25 or less.
Wow.
Don't, because you need
that's
the
space. That's interesting. Yeah,
don't
I do need the space.
Store anything that would cost $25 or less.
Yeah, we got a lot of crap. So what are your holiday plans, Bev?
So we have a two-household family. So there's Al's house and my house. And
right.
So for all our holidays, we kind of like shuffle, like, are we going to Al's? Are we coming to mine? But I had a killer Thanksgiving party, and Al said, you should do all the parties this year. So anyway, yeah, it's like,
we're talking about Al Pacino.
That's right. The father of my kids and wonderful co-parent.
Yeah, that's cool.
We're great friends. So anyway,
so you're hosting.
Yeah. So anyway, December 23rd, Christmas Eve, small, just us chickens, Christmas Eve, my house, Christmas Day. And then we'll do like one present on Christmas Eve.
Okay.
Christmas
I like that.
Day, but we're not big present people to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
Christmas Day is at Anton's apartment. And I think for Christmas Day, because it's also an apartment, and there'll be more than just the nuclear, but not so much more. I mean, it's just me, Anton, Alan, and Libby, but on Christmas Day, we'll have some more relatives.
That's nice.
Just a few.
Nice.
But I'm thinking for Christmas Day, I'm going to do just endless homemade pizzas, and I'm not kidding.
Ooh.
Everybody
homemade
just,
sounds good, yeah.
Picks their toppings, and you put the dough in, and because I'll just get everything together the night before, so it'll all be risen by the time I get it out there. I'll probably do some casseroles and stuff, so it won't be like a big feast day. But then Boxing Day is a big deal at my house
26th,
again.
Yeah.
And, I'll do, like, a whole deal there, and that's going to be much bigger. Although rain is predicted, so anyway, what I'm trying to say is, Christmas this year is a 3-day marathon.
And
I've got lights happening. I've got Christmas.
Yeah, find your lights
all over my backyard.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah.
Okay, here's my confession.
Yeah,
I've kept them up now for 2 years. I just like it.
I do too.
I like it year round.
I have it going around my fence. It's kind of a nice, even when you're sitting in the summer. It does make me happy. Yeah.
Do you keep them up all year?
Yeah, because but they're not. They're like,
it's kind of a white trash thing to do, but I love it.
They're like bigger bulbs in my yard, so they look like they could be summer backyard patio lights.
Yeah,
so,
it's yeah, nice. With it. Yeah. So are they colored?
No, they're white.
Well, I've got the white too, but you know, I've got the colored ones.
Okay, well, that's very Christmas.
Yeah, I mean, but I keep them up year round. I really do, and it's not because of Christmas itself. It's just because I like all the decor. And also, can I just add one more thing?
Yeah.
Maybe the best thing about the Christmas season is people are so nice to each other.
Yeah, what happens in January?
Yeah. Wouldn't it be nice if it just kind of continued? Like,
yeah, that would be nice.
If it could be extended. I was telling someone who doesn't celebrate Christmas that if you really want to understand why it's so compelling every year, just go to a Christmas tree lot,
yeah.
You know, and you'll just feel the vibe where, oh no, you need the tabletop. Well, I don't need the tabletop. We're, like if this was about any other thing, it's like, yeah. you know, they'd grab the Christmas, the item out of your hands, but it's kind and it's
yeah.
Just, it's a wonderful, wonderful time of year to remember, you know, what it means to give.
And be together, too.
And be together.
Yeah.
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 Good things.
Great.
Merry Christmas to you, Bev.
Okay, buddy.
Bye-bye.
Talk to you next
Take
year.
Care. Sounds good. All right. Bye-bye.
Okay.